Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let us seek the Lord and call upon His name. Our gracious God and our Father, we bow humbly in Thy holy presence. We come to Thee as always through the great Mediator, our Saviour, Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give Thee thanks for Him. We thank Thee for the gospel of the grace of God which He has brought us. We thank Thee for the person of the Son of God and the work that He has wrought on the behalf of us sinners. We give Thee praise. He's risen from the dead. He's ascended. And at Thy right hand, He sits ever living for us, making intercession for us. We plead His name. Bless us around the Holy Word today. Minister to our hearts as Thy servant will expound the Word. We pray especially for Dr. Wilson, that he may know that unction, that infilling of the Spirit of God with power, that he may so speak as that people shall be edified, sinners converted, and great glory brought to Thy most holy name. This we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading is from the Gospel according to Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. We're reading from the verse 14 down to the verse 30. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the day of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, and unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But passing through the midst of them, went his way. May God bless this reading of his holy word for his name's sake. The next hymn that we sing is "Let Us Sing of His Love Once Again."
Thank you. good to be here today with the message of the gospel, and I want to thank Reverend McCammon for leading the meeting thus far. We're turning our attention to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. With great privilege comes great responsibility, and this fact is no more evident than in relation to the gospel. The greater privilege and opportunity given to an individual to see their need of Christ and to turn to him, well, then the greater guilt will be and accountability if they refuse the great salvation offered in the scriptures. And the Saviour touches on this point later on in the book of Luke in chapter 12. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more. And as far as the gospel is concerned, the fact that men and women hear the gospel in the first place is grace. It's something that they don't deserve. Man is born in sin with his back toward God and deserves nothing from God. And yet the fact that the Lord comes in his mercy and he gives the message of the gospel is nothing short of unmerited favour and grace from God. But to reject that favour and to reject that grace is a terrible sin in the eyes of God. That is sinning against grace. In this chapter of the Word of God, we have a very striking example of people who sin against grace. The Saviour commenced his earthly ministry with his baptism in the Jordan. Immediately he was driven into the wilderness. He was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. And afterwards he went into the region, the northern regions of the area of Israel. He performed his first miracle and a few others. And then he returned to his hometown, his home city of Nazareth. There he went to the synagogue on the Lord's Day. There he read the scriptures. There he preached. And then everything turned sour. You've read it. They hauled him out of the building. They drew him to the brow of the hill and they wanted to throw him over and kill him. That meeting didn't end as it was meant to end. These people had wonderful privilege. And this is a prime example of those who sin against grace. And I wonder today, as you listen to the Word of God, I wonder, have you heard the gospel over and over again? Have you heard the pleadings of the Lord to show you that you need to be saved? And yet you have sinned against that great privilege. First of all, I want you to notice their natural condition. Nazareth lay 20 miles west of the Sea of Galilee and 20 miles east of Carmel. It was a major trade route in those days between Jerusalem and the large seaports of Tyre and Sidon. And with great numbers of traders moving from one to the other and just stopping overnight in Nazareth, that was a catalyst for the place to become very ungodly and full of vice and immorality. In fact, Nazareth got the name of being a terrible place. You'll remember that Nathanael spoke of, when he heard the Lord Jesus Christ was from Nazareth, he said, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Of all the cities in the land of Israel, Nazareth was probably in greatest need because it was in the greatest sin. And yet how typical that is of sinners. They didn't think they needed God's salvation. They didn't think they needed to be saved. And my friend, they sinned against grace. I want you to notice their unique privilege. It wouldn't have been on the map had the Lord Jesus Christ not been born there. Well, born in Bethlehem, but raised in Nazareth. It was in Nazareth where the angel came to Mary and told her of the birth of Christ. It was in Nazareth that he lived for 30 years. In his childhood, he was a remarkable child. He did no sin. Neither was any guile found in his mouth. A perfect child. Now, some of us have children and we think the world of them and we think they're the best children in the world, but they're not perfect or near it. But this child was. And the people in Nazareth, they watched For 30 years, a young boy grew up, never a word wrong, never a deed wrong. What a wonderful privilege they had to observe such a one. They were greatly privileged. You know, sometimes we can hear pious words, but when we hear those pious words lived out, and we see a living example of those words, they mean all the more. Until the age of 30, the Lord didn't begin his preaching ministry. And yet his life had been a living sermon, day after day after day. And I'm sure as he did that which was right, there were many people, and they knew they were doing wrong. Not because that he was doing wrong, but they saw how it ought to have been done, and they saw the difference. But the privilege doesn't end here. There's Christ's visit on this particular occasion to their synagogue. After his baptism and temptation in the wilderness, he returns to his hometown, and in a sense, he is doing what all preachers ought to do, begin the ministry at home. So he comes to Nazareth as, and it says, interesting in verse 16, he came to Nazareth, to the synagogue, as he was accustomed to do. It was the custom, it was the natural thing for the Lord Jesus Christ to go to the Lord's house on the Sabbath day. And you know, there are many people and they have no idea that it's the right thing to do. My friends, those people who call themselves Christians or followers of Christ, because that's the definition. And yet these people don't seem to need to go to the Lord's house every week. The Lord did. And on this day, as he entered into the synagogue, the ruler of the synagogue would have set out different people to read from the scriptures. The practice was that he'd usually pick a priest, a Levite, and then maybe four or five other laymen, just to simply read the scriptures. And they would stand up in reverence to read the scriptures. And then as they read the scriptures, they would sit down and they would speak or preach. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was handed the scroll. And he unrolled it, for that's what opening the book means. He unrolled and he found the place they'd given him, the scroll of Isaiah. And he turned to chapter 61. And he began with the words, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Here was Messiah himself coming to the very house of God, the people coming to hear the word of God, and there is Messiah himself fulfilling the very word of God in their ears. In the passage he read from Isaiah, to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recover our sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. What a message. This is what these people needed. A message for people that were bound and fettered in sin. They were captive to sin. And they were blind to their lost condition. That they were on their way to a lost eternity. They needed to hear this message. And the very Son of God, Messiah, was preaching it to them. And then he goes on to say, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. In other words, to declare the year that this would be fulfilled. And there he was, in the synagogue in Nazareth, fulfilling the word of God in their sight. What a message to those who were listening. And those who sit in the Lord's house here today, you who are listening, you're hearing the word of God. Oh, you're saying, well, Christ is not here. Yes, he is. My friend, this book is Christ. There is the incarnate word, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. But then there is the written word. And here we have Christ declared to you. What a wonderful privilege that is. But my friend, with great privilege comes great responsibility. I want you to notice their initial wonder. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. They wondered. They never heard anything like this before. They wondered too because he had been brought up with them. And now suddenly for the first time they'd heard him preach, and what came out of his mouth was just such wonderful things that they hadn't been accustomed to. His gracious words Words of grace and favour, completely different to the scribes and Pharisees preaching. They were harsh. They were just lording it over people and trying to put them down and exalt themselves. But here was a gracious preaching of the word of God. You know, there are many people today and they love to come to church. They love to hear the gospel, but they don't want to be saved. Notice their growing antagonism. Their initial wonder and amazement was short-lived. Oh, at the time it was new, it was interesting. This was the most exciting thing that had happened in their synagogue ever. None other but Messiah was there. But as the Lord began to preach, he used the word of the scriptures as the sword that it is. He said, "Surely you will say unto me, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever you have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in this country, in thy country." The Lord knew what was in their hearts. They were thinking, well, why doesn't he do the miracles he did somewhere else? Why doesn't he come to his own town and heal the sick? They only wanted from Christ what they could get out of him. How sad. And then he continued on and he told about the widow of Zarephath, how she was a Gentile. And she was blessed in Elijah's time. And then Naaman, he was another Gentile. And he had his leprosy cured. And that was the red rag to the bull. They could not believe that a Gentile would have any standing over a Jew. They despised the Gentiles with a passion. They didn't even believe they were human at times. And now their unbelief was out in the open. The self-righteousness that they were full of. And they would not admit that they were sinners. As far as they were concerned, oh, they were happy enough to see a Messiah come, because all they wanted Messiah to do was to lead an army and push the Romans out of their land and give their land and their government back. They were not interested in Messiah's purpose in coming to deliver men and women from sin. And you know, there are many people today, and all they want to do, all they want from God, is for him to heal them, to give them what they want. But as far as the salvation of their soul is concerned, as far as their sin is concerned, they're not interested. Notice their final rejection. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Just Joseph's son now, and even that wasn't correct. In other words, they were saying, "Who do you think you are?" That's really, in essence, what they were saying. They were filled with wrath. They rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him into the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They were finished. Now, when this service is over, in the will of God, I'm going to pray and close the meeting. That meeting never got closed. As the Savior preached, they ran up upon him and they grabbed him and they dragged him out of the synagogue and they dragged him through the streets of Nazareth to the brow of the hill, and they were going to throw him over and kill him. My friend, that foreshadows the cross. You remember on Palm Sunday, the Lord Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem on the donkey. And it says, all the people, the multitude cried, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And they took their garments off and they spread them on the ground so the donkey didn't walk on the ground. And then they, when they ran out of coats, they cut down palm branches and they strawed and carpeted the area. Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he that's going to deliver us from the Romans. But 4 days later, what happened? 4 days later, Pilate asked the question, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" The Bible tells us in Matthew 27:22, "And they all say unto him, Let him be crucified. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children." What a change. Just like the people in Nazareth, they heard his gracious words and they thought, this is Messiah. What can we get out of him? But the moment he mentioned their sin, they didn't want to know and they wanted to kill him. Just like the people in Jerusalem. Remember, you like hearing the word of God. And maybe you like hearing the gospel preached, but you don't like being told you're a sinner. But the Bible tells us we're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. But my friend, all those who will not receive Christ as Savior will end up hating Christ. They'll end up not wanting anything to do with Him. They will sin against grace. The people of Nazareth sinned against grace. And the sad thing for them, it was final. You can read through the rest of the Gospels. And you can read the rest of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ as it's written in the Scriptures. Never once did He return. For them, this was their final opportunity. Their final grace. An opportunity to receive Christ the Savior. And they sinned against grace. My friend, when you sin against grace and you push away God's salvation, there's no coming back. Be lost for all eternity. Have I been talking to you? Have you sinned against grace? Are you sinning against grace? Can I urge you to come to Christ today? Don't be like these people. Accept His wonderful salvation. Repent of your sin and accept Him as your Savior. Don't sin against grace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. We praise Thee, Lord, for the gracious message of the gospel. We praise that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we pray, Lord, that none today would sin against this wonderful grace, but would accept Christ as Savior, bow before Him, confess their sin, and call on Him for salvation. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.